Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 15. We left off at verse 15 in chapter 15, and we'll finish the chapter today going down to verse 21. It is always great when we come to a portion in Scripture where the heart of the writer that God has ordained to write these words is revealed. And Jeremiah is blessed with that. And he's a blessing to us because of that, because of the things that Jeremiah the prophet went through, and us being able to identify in many ways with those things, because all things are common to man. There's nothing new under the sun. And then receive comfort of how he dealt with it, how his heart cried out to the Lord and was delivered. And so we have one of those portions of Scripture today. And so let's read in verse 15. This is Jeremiah the prophet crying out to God. And he says, "O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away," meaning don't allow my life to be taken. Remember that even his family and friends in Anathoth, where he was raised, which is just north of Jerusalem, were actually making talk about killing him because he was causing such trouble with telling the truth. And sometimes we'll get in a position like that. You're just telling the truth, but you just get in trouble with a lot of people because it hurts them and their minds. And so he's just asking God not to take him away. He says, "In your patience, know that for your sake I have suffered this rebuke." That just being able to tell your word, and he's getting all kinds of flack for it. And eventually they put him in prison. They put him in a dungeon that he was up to his knees in mud at the bottom of this hole. And just a great persecution for Brother Jeremiah. So he's crying out to the Lord to bring revenge on his persecutors. Kind of reminds me in Revelation of the souls that are killed in the tribulation period that know the Lord, actually persecuted by the Antichrist. And they're underneath the altar in Revelation chapter 7 crying out saying, "Lord, how long? How long until you bring revenge on those that did this to us, that actually martyred us?" And the Lord says, "Wait a while, be patient. And here, actually, Jeremiah asks for God's patience here, said, you know, in your long-suffering patience. And be patient until the rest of those that will be martyred are come in, and then the vengeance will come. And so the Lord's got charge of that. And that's the first point I wanted to bring to us as an example from Jeremiah. Now notice that he says, "O Lord, remember me and visit me and revenge me." Lord, revenge belongs to you, is what Jeremiah is saying here. And this is so biblical, both in the Old and the New Testament. We're told, and I want to quote to you from Romans chapter 12, verse 19, on this subject, where the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." And so we're not to go about planning and plotting vengeance or taking revenge on people. That's God's business, and he's watching. And you know what he says about that? He says that if anyone offends one of these my little ones, and we're all his little ones, it would be better for him if a millstone was tied around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. So you can feel sorry for someone that is being mean to you, because man, they're messing with the king's kid. That's what they're doing, and you better watch out, you know. And so that's the kind of thing. And you can pray for them. As God told Job at the end of all his problems, and his friends were not helpful to him, gave him miserable advice. And boy, the Lord said, "Pray for your friends, lest I kill them." Oh, man. And Job began to pray for those friends, and God spared them and blessed Job with twice as much as he had before. If you remember the story. Oh, you guys, I found out an answer probably to your question or my question about the kids involved in Job's experience just 2 weeks ago, and I thought, wow, that's the answer. Because Job got twice as much stuff back than was taken away from him through his great trial, but he only had 10 kids again. And he said, well, wait a minute, he had 10 kids before. But we have to remember, those 10 kids that he had before went to heaven. So he's got 20 kids. You see? Oh, yeah. So he's got twice as many kids as he did before. Bingo. How many of you knew that already? Okay, we have one sister back here. All right. That's great. I never knew that. And that was shared with me 2 weeks ago. And I said, bingo. You know, there you got 10 in heaven and 10 here. That's twice as many. Okay. So anyway, that was a rabbit trail, as Pastor Bill would say. That's a rabbit trail. Okay. So, yeah. So Jeremiah is actually asking for God to handle that revenge. We need to leave that in God's hands. We really do. Every other movie in Hollywood is telling you, go ahead, make my day. And go get your revenge. You know, I don't get mad, I just get even. You know, that kind of stuff. It's not for us to do. We leave it in the hands of the Lord. And that is a really peaceful place to leave it. So this is what Jeremiah is doing. Now, verse 16 is wildly wonderful. It says, your words were found. Now, actually, when Israel got away from the Lord, they lost the word of God. And one of the priests found the word of God, found it, and brought it to the king. And the king was a strong believer. And the king just took that word of God and ran with it. And they just began to believe the Lord in such a great way. Well, Jeremiah here is now talking about the words were found. Your words were found. And I did eat them. Wow, what does that mean? We're really going to look into this in a minute. But let's read on. It says, and your word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Oh my, that's the truth. You know, that's why we feel better after we come to church, because we're getting the word of God. And it is the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. Man, what great lunches have happened after church when you go out to Mimi's. And man, or wherever you go, even home and have lunch. But man, what great lunches are had after you've been with Jesus and you've received the word of God and ate his word before you had that great lunch. And man, you can just have such great, awesome times of fellowship with the family and with talking about the word of God. It is just amazing how God can do that. And God did this for Jeremiah. Your words were found, and I did eat them, and your word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, yes, O Lord God of hosts. And you know, I like to think the Lord of hosts is a couple of things. Number one, he's the head of all the heavenly armies, which is like a trillion angels, and all of us that will mount horses with him one day in heaven. So the Lord of hosts. But then I also think of him being a host, because the scripture says when we get to heaven, we're going to sit down at the table. Oh, I can't wait for that. And you can eat as much as you want, I'm telling you. And as much chocolate cake as you want. You know, you don't have to watch the calories in heaven because you got a perfect body. Oh, yeah. Don't have to worry about that. Oh, no. But you sit down at the table of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the patriarchs of the faith, and all of the brothers, and Job, and all these guys, you know, all around you, and the sisters, Deborah, and Mary, the Marys, and Joanna, and just Susanna, and I can just name so many. But anyway, he's going to be a great host, because you know what he's going to do? This blows my mind. This is in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus Christ will put on an apron and come and serve you. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Because he loves us so much, and he's the servant of all. He that's greatest among you will be the servant of all. And so this is a very natural thing for him to do. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he was also among us as one who serves. And he will come forth and serve us. It reminds me, in 1984, I went up to Twin Peaks for a conference for the Billy Graham Crusade that was in 1984 here at the stadium. And nobody could find Pastor Chuck. It was a deal for senior pastors. And all these senior pastors from all around Orange County were up there at this retreat. And everybody's going, where's Pastor Chuck? Where is he? Nobody knows where Pastor Chuck is. And so then the dinner bell rang. And we all got in line for dinner. And guess who served us? Pastor Chuck. And he was just doing what he was. He was a great servant of God. You know, gosh, these old things are coming to my mind just real fast, but just tell you one more. I prayed once. I said, Lord, show me my relationship to Pastor Chuck, because I was so in awe of him. I was starstruck every time I saw him. And I'd like get, you know, like a deer in headlights, and I didn't know what to say. And usually when I said something, it was just terrible. I mean, because I was so nervous, you know. And I said, Lord, would you please show me my relationship to Pastor Chuck? And so we're at the tent for church one day, and my bus broke down like it always did. It's an old Volkswagen bus, and there's a certain thing that has to get the juice all the way from the front of the bus to the back. Anyway, it's complicated. And I'd have to pop the clutch sometimes to get the thing started. But I need somebody to help me push that big beast. And so it was broken down in the parking lot, and I saw Brother Gerard that I knew, and I said, Gerard, can you help me push my bus? And I didn't notice, but he happened to be walking with Pastor Chuck. And so Pastor Chuck came with Gerard to push my bus. But he'd been sick. He had a bad cold. I said, oh, Pastor Chuck, you shouldn't push my bus. He just went, get up in the bus. You know, he was just so cool. I mean, he's just so cool, man. And so I got up in my bus, and I'm sitting there, and Pastor Chuck is pushing my bus, my broken down bus, for me to pop the clutch. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, he's my servant. And that was such a revelation for me and a blessing to me. And you know what? As you and I serve one another, we're becoming like Jesus, aren't we? And Pastor Chuck knew that. So he was serving dinner to the pastors that time, and I thought that was just so neat. So here we are looking at these scriptures. Now, so the Word of God is the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Now, Jeremiah says in verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you be altogether unto me a liar and as waters that fail? Oh, Lord, help me now, Lord. It just seems like I'm really in a bad place, and I don't feel any help from you, is what he's saying. And the Lord then speaks to him, and we'll get to that next. But the thing I wanted to point out is this idea that he ate the Word of God, and it rejoiced his heart. Now, in order to understand this, we need to go to other scriptures in the Bible. So let's go to Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is right past Jeremiah. You just turn in the scriptures to the next book. By the way, Debbie, I have your markers in here. I do, yes. They work, they do. You know, I turn to so many scriptures, I get lost sometimes, and Debbie said, use markers, man. So I've been doing that. Okay, so Ezekiel is the next book after Jeremiah. Just keep going, and you go to Ezekiel chapter 2, and then we look at verse 8. Now, Ezekiel was a contemporary of Jeremiah. Ezekiel was saying the same things that Jeremiah is saying, actually from Babylon. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem prophesying the same things. And so the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and says, You, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. The house of Israel is being rebellious against the Lord. They were going after other gods. And he's saying, look, Ezekiel, not you. Don't do this. It says, you, don't be rebellious like this rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. So here's this idea again. Eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, lo, and a roll of a book was therein, or a scroll was in the hand of this hand that was sent to Ezekiel. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. Now, just like you can make a Xerox copy on one side, and if you want to continue and save paper and use the other side of the paper, you turn the paper over, and you have writing on both sides. Well, this is the idea. This is a scroll, and it's written on both sides in the scroll. So that's what this means here. He spread it out before me. It was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe because of all the bad things that were coming upon those that were into idol worship. These things were hard to write and hard to read, and hard to read for us sometimes. Lamentations, mourning, and woe. And then chapter 3, it says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat that what you find, eat this roll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll, or that scroll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause your belly to eat, and fill your bowels with this roll that I give you. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Wow, so many scriptures come to my mind that he tastes like honey on the rock. We used to sing an old song. He tastes like honey on the rock. He tastes like honey on the rock. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because both in the Old and New Testament, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. And he works all things together for good, even lamentations, mourning, and woe, working together for good in lives. So as Ezekiel ate these lamentations, mourning, and woe, in his mouth, it was like honey for sweetness. Now there's a proverb that says this, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Even the bitter things that God has to say is just sweet to the taste because of his great love. And every single thing in your life, whether it's sweet or bitter, works together for your good because you are called by God and you are loved by him. And even though it hurts, it's a good thing. Now, this is enlarged upon, and we see it very specifically also in the book of Revelation. And that's the last book in the Bible. I don't have to put a marker there. Last book, Revelation 10, Revelation chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. So let's go there. This subject is picked up again about eating the Word of God. So Revelation 10 and verses 9 and 10. Now, this is right in the middle of the tribulation period when all of these heavy things are coming upon the earth of the judgment of God. The 100-pound hailstones and the seas are dying and the tidal waves and all this business that's coming one day. This is right smack dab in the middle of it. This angel comes down from heaven. And some scholars believe it's actually Jesus himself. And he puts his foot on the land and his foot on the water of the world. And he has in his hand a little book. And so let's begin to read there in verse 9. And I went to the angel, this is the Apostle John now, and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up. So here we are. We've got Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and now the Apostle John in the last book of the Bible, told to eat the Word of God. And it shall make your belly bitter. And so, again, we see lamentations, mourning, and woe in the book of Revelation. And this is right in the middle of it. Hard stuff. And so it's going to make your belly bitter. But it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? The Word of God. There's some hard things about it. Sometimes you will feel that as you're going along that somebody just slugged you in the stomach. You get some hard news, some bad news, some heavy tidings. But the Scripture says, don't be afraid at evil tidings. Trust in the Lord and look to Him. And so we have it as sweet as honey. He tastes like honey on the rock. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's working out His events in your life. And sometimes it'll feel like a sock in the tummus. But oh, how He's working the good. Now, I want to share with you something from our own congregation that made this so real this week. This brother ended up in the hospital. And I won't go through all of those things. But anyway, he was there in the hospital. They began to do tests on him, and they found out he has a very rare disease. And they started him on medication for that disease, and the doctor came in, leveled with him about it. He said, look, this medication, if this works, it'll be wonderful and you'll be okay. But he says, if this medication doesn't work, your next stop is ICU on a breather that makes you breathe, because this kills people, this rare disease. And this is the experience the doctors have had with this. So kind of some bad news, and shocked him. He said he was so shocked and his brain was moving so fast, he forgot to call on the Lord. He was just so upset. But he said God's love broke through, and you know, without calling on Him, He showed up. And He gave him such peace that actually he put it this way: it doesn't matter whether I live or die. It just matters that I have Jesus. And my Jesus came and gave me the peace that passes understanding in such a huge way that I can't even explain it. And so he said, can I please stand up and share with the congregation about this on Wednesday night service? And I said, come on. And he got up. And he didn't even share the whole story with the congregation. He wasn't at all trying to make people feel sorry for him. He was trying to get across the fact that Jesus Christ is real. He's really, really real. And whatever grace you need for whatever situation, it's going to be sweeter than honey. And it's going to just blow your mind. And he was trying to express what he felt. And I'm sure that probably none of us have gotten close to the peace that he had, because he really needed a big dose. And we don't want to wish for stuff that need big doses like that, but we want to just have the peace, right? And that's good, because Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, I give it to you. But he had an extra special dose that he was trying to tell us about. And I could tell he wasn't able to put words to it. But just looking at him, I received faith and a boost in my life to say, you know what? God's got my back, man. God's got my back. He's got your back. Whatever you have to face, it'll be bitter in your belly, but sweeter than honey in your mouth, because God's will is perfect for you as He leads our lives. And He's now expressing this to Jeremiah. And as Jeremiah said, I found your words, and they were a joy and rejoicing in my heart. That's the way Jeremiah put it. How do you understand these things? Well, you have to experience them. And the Lord is the one that brings what you need right when you need it. Just the time I need him, he's always there. Amen? Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Okay, well now let's go on and read a little further here in Jeremiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 15. And we want to see a twofold thing. Now the Lord speaks at this point in verse 19. And what he now begins to tell Jeremiah is, Jeremiah, you just need to go on and do what I've called you to do. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, you get away from this little pity party you're on, and you just return to me now, come on, let's get with me, then I will bring you again, and you shall stand before me. Or another translation says, you will serve me again. You will stand before me. You know, this just jumped right out at me from the Bible. There's so much about being able to stand. We put on the armor of God. And if we do it all, the Bible says, you'll be able to stand at the end of the day. You will be standing. And God is inviting Jeremiah to believe that he will stand before the Lord and be there with him. If you take forth the precious from the vile, both in his verbal deliveries and also for those that need, precious people that need to be rescued from the vile. You shall be as my mouth. Jeremiah, open your mouth and I will fill it. You'll be like my mouth. Whatever you say will come from me. And you know, we have a promise about that in the New Testament. It says if you're brought before some council, some kind of biting people that want to hear from you and catch you in your words, don't take thought, Jesus said. Don't even worry about what you're going to say, because it won't be you. It'll be your Father in heaven that's really talking. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. And so you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you. This is the way Jesus worked. He went out and said, Matthew, when he was sitting at the receipt of custom, follow me. And Matthew left the taxes that he was collecting and followed Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's telling Jeremiah, let them return to you. Just give the word out. You can't save anybody. I love this message. Greg Laurie always gives this. He says, you know what? You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. We are just responsible to give the word out. And then God does the saving. No one comes to the Father unless the Father draw him. Yes. And so let them return to thee. But return not thou unto them. Don't chase your tail and run after people that don't want to hear you. But you just go ahead and speak the word, speak the truth, and let the truth have its way with the people. And so this is very precious and wonderful. So this idea of stand. Now Revelation 6:17 says, when the great day of his wrath is come, they will say, who shall be able to stand? Good question. Not anybody. Man, when God starts wheeling his sickle to reap the earth, nobody's going to be able to stand before him. This is such a precious promise given to Jeremiah, that you will stand before me. And you know what? The Lord says that we should pray this way. In the Gospel of Luke, he lists all of the things that are going to happen in the last days. The heavy things are going to come upon the earth. But he says this, you should pray always that you will be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. I want to stand before the Son of Man. Don't you? Amen. Yes. And sit down at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and have that wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. And to stand before me. Now, I'd like to say one more scripture about the wicked here. It says Psalm 1:5 says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But they'll be judged. And it's accounted, given to a man once to die, and then the judgment. And that judgment is going to be just and severe. And those sinners will not stand. But God has made it possible for us to stand through the blood of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life on the cross, gave up his blood and his life, that as we believe in him and incorporate that wonderful gift that he brings, the wages of sin is death, not standing. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what he has for us. And this is what he's saying to Jeremiah. You shall stand before me. And I like to say this, that the man in the Bible who had the most trouble in his life, he is the one that was given an unbelievable, well, believable, wonderful prophecy about the idea of standing one day before God. And I'd like to show that to you in the Bible. Let's go to Job chapter 19, verse 25. Now, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was written before Moses wrote the first five books that we know, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the Torah, the Jewish law. It was written by Moses after the book of Job was written. And Job went through so many terrible things, as you remember, so many terrible things. I've already mentioned them once here in the sermon, but here in Job 19 and verse 25, God shows himself to Job and makes him a promise, just like to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you shall stand before me. And so it says here in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives. There's even a song about this in our hymnals. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, this body's just a temporary tent, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I'm going to stand there on the earth with my Redeemer. This is written before Moses even wrote. This is the most dynamic, precious prophecy that I think that we could ever look at. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Doesn't matter. And I think of the brother that shared on Wednesday night. Whether I live or die, I've got Jesus. I know that my Redeemer lives. And he's going to stand on the earth one day. And I'm going to see him there. And I'm going to be with him. Hallelujah. This is the most glorious, wonderful promise that we can have. Well, let's go back now to the here and now. Let's go back to Jeremiah. We have just one more thing to show you today from these last two verses in chapter 15 of Jeremiah. It says, I will make you unto this people a fenced brazen wall. This is verse 20 of Jeremiah 15. And they shall fight against you. Yeah. But they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you, to deliver you, says the Lord. And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the hand of the terrible. Oh, what a great promise to Jeremiah, as Jeremiah was suffering in his kind of depression there when he said to the Lord that, Lord, it's like you're a liar and your waters are failing. No, his waters aren't failing. No. You got a hit in the stomach, but in your mouth is my word. My word. And it is filled with the sweetness of honey. And Jeremiah, I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the hand of the terrible. And that was a promise that came true when Gedaliah was sent by King Nebuchadnezzar to go to the prison where Jeremiah was, get him up out of the dungeon, and carry him home And then the chief commander was told, Nebuchadnezzar, by Nebuchadnezzar, you give Jeremiah anything he wants. Oh, God delivered him out of the hands of those in Anathoth that were threatening his life, and above that, from all of his enemies. And David says that, you have delivered me from all my enemies, Lord. You put me in a broad place. And God does that. And he does that for us. You know, there's a scripture, and this I'm going to end with this. This is the last scripture I want to quote to you, but it's Isaiah chapter 54, where it says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Oh, Lord, but weren't you talking to David or somebody heavy? This is the heritage, it says right after that, of the servants of the Lord. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Every single one of us protected by God. You know, God made this verse so real to me a long time ago. And you know, God deals with this differently. So I want to put that as a kind of a disclaimer for you practicing this or whatever. You know, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Somebody stole my hose from under my bedroom window, and it freaked me out. Now, that might not freak you out or mean as much to you. We lived on Haster Street, just past the drug park down here. And our bedroom window was on the street. And I would worry sick about that. See, you probably aren't as worrisome as I am. But I am a watchdog, and I just was bugged with that window. So I would never put my boys in that room. So poor Sherry had to sleep next to me in that room, though. But somebody one night stole our garden hose, which was right under that window. And I went, oh, like, Lord, you know how this window has bugged me, but now somebody's actually stolen something of mine from underneath that window. That just freaked me out. So I went over to church that day, and I was in my office, and I read that scripture, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And so I began to pace in my office and just going, Lord, you have said in your word that no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. You know what, Lord? I want my hose back. I said that to the Lord. That's pretty bold. You know, you got to have okay from the Holy Ghost to get that bold with the Lord, right? But I mean, I was just bold about it. I said, I want to see that hose because that is a weapon that was formed against me and you said it won't prosper. Well, a couple of days later, this lady comes up to Sherry and I at our house to get some prayer. We put her in the hot seat, you know, lay hands on her, pray for her. And then afterwards, I told her that we lost our hose and I was really bummed about it. And she says, oh, you know what? We have a new hose up at our apartment complex. And so I went up there and it was our hose. And it turned out that it was her son that took it. Yes! And, of course, things transpired after that. They were good, you know, with the sun and everything. But I got my hose back, ladies and gentlemen. God kept his word. And I think the Lord wants us to get serious with him that way. And just say, you know what? No weapon that is formed against me will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. There was a dear missionary, her name was Alicia. She went away to Thailand to serve in the refugee camps. And she was teaching little kids there. And she wrote us and said, God has kept his word again. And she quoted from Luke, where it says that you will tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means will hurt you. If you die, it was your time to die, and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And the things that come your way are working together for your good. And she came into her little apartment late at night, so she couldn't see, and she just stumbled over and went to bed. And the next morning, she saw a dead scorpion on her floor. that she had accidentally stepped on. And she said, God has kept his word, for he will cause you to trample down snakes and scorpions, and nothing by any means will hurt you. And she said, man, after that, she could put her little head on the pillow there in Thailand. She was all alone. She went on a mission journey. She was only about 19 years old at the time, by herself, across the world. But from then on, she just could put her head on her pillow and say, you know what? God's got my back. And if God's got your back, you're going to be okay. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. You can believe that. You are important to the Lord. He loves you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for Jeremiah. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for the experiences that we've seen and gone through and hear from other brothers and sisters. Lord, you truly do love us with a love that says, I go before you, I'm your reward, or I go behind you, I go with my hand upon you and my eye upon you, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And Lord, we just love this, Lord. We love thinking about it. Help us, Lord, not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything and put these things in your hands. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you for Jeremiah, your protection of him, your love for him. And Lord, thank you that he's so much like us. So we appreciate it, Father, and we look forward to going on and on in this book and finding so many more nuggets, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? If anybody's here and you're not saved yet, you need to get saved today. Yeah, look at these guys are going, come on. He's going into the prayer room there. Yeah, what are you waiting for, he says there. That's right. You want to get saved now before it's too late. You want to start walking with Jesus and experience life and that until it overflows. Is what the Bible says. Abundant life. That's what Jesus brings. He needs your sin. He took it on the cross. He paid for it. So you give him your sin, he gives you his righteousness. And then you will stand forever in the congregation of the righteous. Hallelujah. So come on up to the prayer room, get saved today. I'm looking at a guy here that loves to disciple people. Alex has said he's a discipler. And why don't you go up there too, brother, and find yourself a new disciple to share the love of Jesus with. And we'll give you free Bibles. You need a Bible, we got a Bible for you. So God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.